I felt the flutter of Miss Winter's fingers tracing the crescent on my skin, then the tender sympathy of her eyes. The thing is, the final words, the very last words. After this, I need never say anything, ever again. I don't think I can live without her. Child, Miss Winter looked at me, held me suspended in the compassion of her green eyes. I thought nothing. The surface of my mind was perfectly still, but under the surface there was a shifting and a stirring. I felt the great swell of the undercurrent. For years a wreck had sat in the depths, a rusting vessel with its cargo of bones. Now it shifted. I had disturbed it, and it created a turbulence that lifted clouds of sand from the seabed, motes of grit swirling wildly in the dark, disturbed water. All the time Miss Winter held me in her long, green gaze. Then slowly, slowly the sand resettled and the water returned to its quietness. Slowly, slowly. And the bones resettled in the rusting hold.
When I invited you here, I thought I knew your story already. I had read your essay about the Landier brothers. Such a good essay it was. You knew so much about siblings, insider knowledge, I thought. And the more I looked at your essay, the more I thought you must have a twin. And so I fixed upon you to be my biographer. Because if, after all these years of tale-telling, I was tempted to lie to you, you would find me out.
I have found you out. She nodded, tranquil, sad, unsurprised.
About time, too. How much do you know?
What you told me, only a subplot is how you put it. You kept pointing me in the direction of Jane Eyre, the book about the outsider in the family, the motherless cousin. I don't know who your mother was and how you came to be at Angelfield without her. Sadly, she shook her head.
Anyone who might have known the answer to those questions is dead, Margaret. The only thing I can be sure of is what John the Dig told me.
And what did he tell you?
That I appeared like a weed between two strawberries.
She told me the story.